Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and I've got two news stories to do. The first is actually a question, and then I've got a studio guest who'll be here in a few minutes. And the second story is going to be from New Jersey and New York about criminals who are stealing body parts out of corpses and selling them for just what a dramatic story. But the first is a question. What do all these terrorists have in common? All right, what do all these terrorists have in common? And if you know the answer, you could call us at 800-8-N-YARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. But here goes. Yesterday, a top Al-Aqsa terrorist was killed by his Israeli soldiers. His name was Mohammed Shatawi. Mohammed Shatawi. Then there's the bad hair day terrorist from Pakistan. His name was Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Now, when I give you this list, tell me what do these terrorists have in common. Then there's the 9/11 terrorist leader, Mohammed Atta. And then there was the terrorist sympathizer slash sniper named John Allen Mohammed. Then there's Osama bin Laden's security chief, and he was a terrorist trainer in Afghanistan. His name is Ali Mohammed. So what do all these terrorists have in common? Then there's the PLF, the Palestinian Liberation Front, led by Abu Abbas. His full name, Abu Muhammad Abbas. Then there's, remember the guy at LAX, the airport in Los Angeles, and he's the terrorist sympathizer, and he shot up the El Al ticket counter, the Israeli Airlines ticket counter. His name was Hesham Muhammad Hidayat. Then there's the Pakistani Army of Muhammad. They're called Jaish-e-Muhammad. Then there's the leader of the Pakistani Army of the Righteous. His name is Professor Hafiz Muhammad Saeed. So what do all these terrorists have in common? See if you could spot any thread. Then there's the guy who murdered the Dutch movie director. Remember him? That murderer, that terrorist name was Mohammed Boyeri. And then there was, remember the Bali bombing? 23 people were slaughtered by the terrorist Nordin Mohammed. And then there's the London train bomber, Mohammed Sadiq Khan. So, now, if you're a public school teacher, we understand if you can't figure this out. But anyone else, if you can figure out what is the common thread, what do all these terrorists have in common? Okay, that's the question to start the show. And then there's the news story. A tissue service out of Fort Lee. I don't mean Kleenex. I mean human tissues. Biomedical tissue service is run by a guy named Michael Mastro Moreno. And he was just charged with selling body parts and other crimes, along with a funeral homeowner from Brooklyn. The guy's name is Joseph Nicelli. Sounds like two Italians to me. Anyway, here's what's going on. Mastro Moreno, he was an oral surgeon, a dentist. He lost his dental license, so he went into the tissue business. And prosecutors said that what they would do is they had an operating room at this funeral parlor in Brooklyn, and he would pay the funeral director $1,000 to temporarily give him a body. Then he would operate on the body. For example, he would cut open people's legs, take out their bones, and shove in PVC pipe in the leg and screw the PVC pipe to the hip and the ankle bones and then sew the leg up, and then they would have the wake. And so he was doing that, and so let me give you a little bit of this story. It's grisly. It's like a cheap horror movie, right? This is an Associated Press story out today. And so let's see. Here we go. They would take organs from people who had not given consent or were too old or too sick to donate organs. Now, this is a scary part. So they would take people who were too old or too sick, and then they would forge consent forms, and they would change the death certificates to indicate that the victims had been younger and healthier. And then those organs and that tissue would be sent all over the country, and they'd get about $7,000 out of each corpse. And so doctors are transplanting organs from people who had died, elderly, sick people. And so you've got the Department of Investigation in New York. Gil Hearn, the commissioner, says it was shockingly callous in its disregard for the sanctity of human remains. So in New York City, they don't really care too much about the sanctity of life, but the sanctity of human remains, now that's something to talk about. And actually, it's a lot more than that, right? Because it's pretty much it's reckless disregard for human life for the victims who had these organs and this tissue transplanted into their bodies. All right, so let's see if we have anybody who knows the answer to the question, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. In Littleton, Lolita, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Hi, Bob.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
So what's the answer to that? What's common among all these terrorists?
They're all named Muhammad.
Come on! You mean I overlooked something as simple as that?
I did not get that. I did not get that.
What's that voice? Lolita, there's a voice from my past.
I did not get that.
That's my brother.
Hi, Lolita. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
Nice to meet you.
Brian.
Are you coming to church on Sunday?
I hope to be there.
Oh, good.
Hey, that's Brian Enyart, my brother. Brian and I grew up in New Jersey, and he's here with his wife. He's in Colorado with his wife, Annette. Brian, how many times have you been to Colorado?
This is actually my second time.
Second time.
First time was 18 years ago.
Yeah, so welcome back. It's a thrill to see my brother, Brian, and his wife, Annette. So, Lolita, you won, and so you know what you win?
What?
Nothing.
Oh, I wanted an A+. How about that?
An A+. Okay, that's easy to give out. Hey, they're all named Muhammad. What's with that?
Oh, you know what's with that.
I think we're fighting a holy war. Only to us it's not a holy war, but to the other side it's a holy war.
It is, but that's because we worship the true God and they don't.
Ooh.
Ooh. There's only two religions in the world, right? The ones that worship the true God and everybody else, and we know who they worship.
Wow.
It just comes in different names.
Lolita, you're hardcore, but I think you're right. Islam came about 6 centuries after Christ, and Jesus had 2,000 years of prophecies in the Jewish scripture predicting the place of his birth, when he would be born, how he would live, how he would die, and he fulfilled all those prophecies. Muhammad was born. Nothing spoke of the coming of Muhammad. There were no prophecies. He killed more Jews within his reach than Adolf Hitler killed. And he was violent and sexually immoral. And tragically, the Arab peoples decided to take his teachings and turn it into a religion.
But that's because his teachings support their evil desires, like being, dying and getting all the virgins.
Oh, yeah.
It all ends up being about sex.
That's a bizarre part of the story. Thank you so much, Lolita.
All right, bye.
Nice talking to you.
Yeah, so she pegged it, Bri. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
You just flew into Colorado.
Like, just got here a couple hours ago.
Just walked into the studio. I'm so thrilled to see you. So, Bri, we should reminisce a little. We should talk about the past. How long has it been?
A lot has happened.
Yeah.
A lot has happened in the past.
We became Christians in what decade?
Well, I would say you became a Christian in the 70s.
1973.
Yeah, and then I was probably somewhere in the late 70s or 80s.
Yeah.
Probably late 70s.
Late 70s.
Yeah.
And who were the early influences in our lives?
Well, for me, it certainly was Rich Scardato, who owned Scardato's Restaurant.
Scardato's Restaurant, undoubtedly the best restaurant in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And
or it was the best.
It was.
Yeah.
Now it's a dumpy steakhouse.
Yeah, exactly.
Owned by some gringo or something.
Exactly.
It's terrible.
It is terrible.
Now, but it was owned by the Scardato family. And on Saturday night, it sat 250 people. They'd have three complete turns. And people would wait. How long would they wait to be seated? We both worked there for
maybe
years.
Maybe an hour and a half.
People would wait an hour and a half every Saturday night for 30 years.
Do you remember the plates that they had out in front? The what would they call
the
those?
Hot plates?
The hot plates. And yeah, they would have chicken wings.
With the burners underneath.
And they had Swedish meatballs.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll never forget one night, one of the customers who was sitting at the bar drinking for over an hour says to Tony, one of the owners.
Tony Scardato.
He says, hey, Tony, it would be nice if you had little sandwiches out there with the Swedish meatballs and the chicken. Have little sandwiches, too. And so Tony went in his wallet and he came out with a $10 bill. And he said, look, buddy, go down to the Triangle Diner. You want little sandwiches? It's a restaurant.
Yeah, right. It'd be nice if we could eat and then just leave and not buy anything.
Right, right.
Yeah, exactly. Now Rich, so it's a very popular restaurant.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I had to wear like a tux to work there.
Right.
So then Rich Scardato, one of the brothers who owned it, became a Christian. They grew up Catholic, his family. We grew up Catholic, our family.
Yeah.
He went to church, and he said the final straw was for Christmas Mass. On the back of their bulletin, it was a picture of Santa Claus, and it said, come unto me, all ye children.
Yeah.
And he said, that's it, we're done. That's obviously not Catholic theology, but that was his church. Yeah. And he said, that's it, we're done. And he became a born-again, Bible-believing Christian.
Yeah.
And then how about the rest of his family?
Well, I would say over the next several years, they all became Christians and they all became missionaries to their town and to the surrounding towns.
Yeah, his wife, Rose, and all the kids.
All the kids.
And we met them through working at Scardato's. And Rich and I became Christians around the same time in 73. And one of the waitresses who worked there.
Annie. Yeah.
And so the three of us, and we started meeting, praying, Bible study, and witnessing to busboys, waiters, cooks. And over the next 10 years, I don't know, how many people got saved through the Scardato's?
I would say it was definitely dozens immediately.
Dozens.
But if you get the next wave, I would say hundreds
probably
were saved.
Probably
hundreds.
Because then we started the youth group, Agape Kingdom.
Yeah.
A handful of us. There were just three of us at the first Agape Kingdom meeting.
Yeah.
And Agape Kingdom saw, you know, probably 60 or 70 kids over the years go through and come to church and pray to get saved. It was exciting, real exciting times. And so many of those who got saved, remember we had a Christian band, a rock band. And we had the weekly Bible study, weekly prayer meeting.
We went to Campus Life.
Campus Life.
That was a lot of fun with Scream in the Dark.
Scream in the Dark.
Oh,
well, that
God,
was their
ball.
Around Halloween.
Around Halloween.
They had a haunted house.
Yeah. And they staffed it with Christians, young Christian people.
Yeah. And it wasn't just any haunted house. They would lease a home ready to be demolished in the woods.
An old mansion that was just falling down.
And they would turn it into the scariest haunted house in the world.
Scream in the Dark.
Yeah. How many live monsters were in the haunted house?
I would say somewhere in the 50 range.
Yeah, 50 or so live monsters.
Yeah.
It would take an hour, 2 hours in makeup. And typically 2,000 to 4,000 people would go through a night,
yeah.
For 2 weeks straight.
And camera crews and reporters.
Yeah, the news. It's the best haunted house I'd ever seen in my life.
And to get to be one of the actors in that haunted house, there were hundreds of kids that wanted to do it.
Yeah, yeah. That,
so to become one of the actors was
And I remember we'd have
amazing.
Like we'd have that corn syrupy stuff in our hair and on our face and oatmeal look like maggots. And you had to be able to yell for hours.
Hours.
You had to do things like, I'm dying! Whatever. You had to just be weird, and people were afraid.
I think Spamalot copied now. They're saying, I'm not dead yet. But we were saying, I'm dead! I'm dead!
Whatever.
Yeah.
And anyway, whatever the theology is of a haunted house, Campus Life did it, and that was one of the memories of of being, you know, getting involved in Christian organizations early in our lives as teenagers. But then
after Scream in the Dark, when you came out at the other end of the haunted house, then they would steer people to Bible studies, getting involved with Campus Life, You know, there would be youth pastors there to witness to the kids. So it was more than just a good time. It was a good time.
It was,
and then the focus was
They preached
getting
the
saved.
Gospel very strong.
Yeah.
In fact, I became a Christian through campus life. Ron Hutchcraft, who's well known back east, he had a weekend retreat, and I went, and I couldn't even comprehend what they were talking about. They were talking about being persecuted as a Christian. And I thought, this is America. This is the 70s. Nobody gets persecuted. This isn't Rome, the Roman Empire, the Colosseum. I couldn't understand. And then that Sunday night, he preached. He had communion and preached, and that's when I got saved.
Wow.
So I have a great debt of gratitude to them
And
to Ron Hutchcraft. So then how about our own family? I became a Christian. And mom did, right?
Mom did. Mom took a couple years, but mom became a Christian.
We were Catholics. I remember.
Mom was Catholic.
We were Catholics.
Well, we were all Catholics, but mom was really Catholic.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't stand there and duke it out over it, but mom would have.
Yeah.
She was Catholic.
But I was an altar boy.
Yeah, I was an altar boy.
You were an altar boy. I used to read the readings, the lectern they called you.
Yeah,
whatever.
I was a lectern, yeah.
That whatever they called us. And so we used to read the readings, and there were like 800 people.
Yeah.
And so I remember saying to mom, mom was crying one day. I'm getting ready to go to this Protestant retreat. She's crying. She says, I'm afraid we're going to leave the Catholic Church. Yeah. I said, mom, we will never leave the Catholic Church ever.
Wow.
And then I came back from that retreat, and that Sunday night, I said, mom,
we're leaving
the Catholic Church is organized crime. I'm not going back.
Yeah.
And so anyway, that was maybe a bit of an exaggeration, but we all left the Catholic Church. We had Bible studies with the priest.
Right.
And they said, oh, you could believe in any Hindu, Buddhism, anything and go to heaven.
Right.
But we showed them in the Bible. Jesus said he was the only way. They said, no, that's not true.
That's not true.
And so anyway, then we left the Catholic Church and the priest came. And we said, what, are we going to go to hell? Because nobody else is going to hell.
Do you remember Father Stepien?
Yeah, I remember explicitly.
I remember conversations with him, and he was a wonderful, warm person. But as far as steering you toward God or salvation, he was as lost as anyone.
Yeah, he said the Bible was mythology.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he taught us. Adam and Eve and, you know, the patriarchs. It's just all made up stories like Greek myth.
Right.
So when you get that from your church and you realize, hey, the Bible is the word of God, our church is wrong.
Mm.
So that was our church. Okay, now, not too many years ago, when was it? Mom got me invited to a large Christian singles group in New Jersey to speak one Saturday night.
I would say we're going back 8 years ago.
8 years ago?
About 8 years ago, yeah, I would say.
And, you know, I've been very involved fighting against abortion since the late 80s.
Mm.
So we were... 8 years ago, we're still in the middle of it. We still are. But I'm supposed to speak about divorce and remarriage. But I get there and I just am.
It was a crowded house.
Crowded house.
Right.
It was packed.
Yeah.
And I am just overcome with the thought of, I got to tell these people about abortion because they're a bunch of liberal Christians. So I start talking about abortion.
And everybody's quiet for 10 or 15 minutes, and he's going on. Now, I thought – I was in the audience, and I said, well, I thought it was on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, but I'm fine with this. Keep – you know, let's go.
So I'm talking about abortion, and there are people there who are getting mad because they obviously disagree. And, you know, one guy from the back – said whatever, you know, he criticized me. Somehow he utterly disagreed, whatever.
He stood up and he was angry that you were misrepresenting yourself and this was supposed to be a talk on another topic.
Yeah. And so anyway, so – and there were some people who obviously were pro-choice. But there – I think many were Christian and pro-life but not realizing how they would compromise on abortion or not care. And it got – all of a sudden – it got like it was going to be hostile.
Did you feel the evil and the anger?
The intensity of it.
The intensity.
Now, I would say anybody would have to say that that night was a bizarre night.
It was bizarre.
But one good thing, one couple came to me afterward and said, Bob, in all the years of this ministry, no one has ever gotten saved at a Christian singles night ever until tonight.
Wow.
When one woman, an elderly woman, prayed to become a Christian.
That was one you knew about. I'm sure more things happened that night in the spiritual realm.
That could be. But, Bri, when it sort of got scary.
Did get scary.
This one guy was angry, and he was disagreeing. And I said, sir, you're a murderer. That's what you are. You don't care. They're killing children in your community, and you don't care. That's like being a conspirator toward murder, like an accomplice. Like if they're killing Jews in Germany and you don't care, then – you're a murderer. And he obviously got a little angry at that. And so the intensity, you could feel it.
You could feel it.
And I remember what you did then. Now, my brother's bigger than me in a good way. I might be a little wider, but he's taller. And you work for a living, right? I sit and talk and type.
As far as I can tell, I do work for a living.
You're
yes.
in construction,
right,
home
yeah.
remodeling mostly,
yeah.
doors.
Doors, windows,
yeah,
all types of things, but mostly doors and windows.
You're a door specialist.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. So anyway, and like mansion doors too. So anyway, my brother comes and in front of what seemed to be a crowd that is maybe getting out of control, he picks up his chair and he plants it right in front of me and he sits and he faces the audience like he's not going to let anybody through. And I was extremely grateful at that moment because I didn't know what was going on. But, Bri, I don't know if I ever thanked you for that.
I don't remember, but I thought that just in case anybody got out of hand, it would be better if there were more people up there.
Yeah.
So.
And
you spoke then for about an hour more.
Yeah.
And it turned – I would say most of the people were very receptive, and at the end
yes.
of the night – people were grateful for the things that you had said.
Yeah, there were some people in tears. In fact, we just heard from a couple that moved to North Dakota, wherever they moved, just this past week, who stay in touch and say thank you. And that one woman we know of who got saved. So that was exciting, although it was a little more than they had bargained for. So, Bri, then also – many were Catholics who got saved during that period in the 70s. Some were Protestants. Some were atheists. Remember Angelo Dell'Aquila?
Yeah, he was an atheist.
He was an atheist in high school. And we prayed for him. We prayed for him in front of him.
He was an intellectual atheist.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
You remember the prayer meeting at our home in our backyard by our pool and our diving board? About a dozen of us in a circle, and he was there. And we went around. Every person prayed for Angelo to get saved. And he's there at the prayer meeting.
Yeah.
So it came to him. He was the last one. And he said, God, if you're real, all these people think I need to be saved. And I don't even know if you're real, but if you are, I probably should be saved. So help me know if you're real. And he became a Christian shortly after that.
Became a wonderful Christian.
Yeah. And we stay in touch. Yeah. Angelo and his wife, Michelle, you remember her.
Beautiful people.
Yeah, they moved to Pennsylvania. So, Bri, then we had weekly Bible studies.
Yeah.
You remember the worship time, Sunday nights after church? And we would take – we'd have a –
You remember Pastor Rizzo?
Pastor Rizzo, Church of the Nazarene.
Church of the Nazarene.
He was on radio in New Jersey for years.
Is he on any longer?
He might be.
Yeah.
And we used to pick up kids to go to his church.
Yeah.
We would go in a caravan.
Yeah.
We would take 30, 40 kids. And he had a church, maybe a couple hundred people.
Yeah.
Back then, we called ourselves Rent-A-Congregation. Because we would find out there's some kind of Christian, some special going on at some church. We'd call up, find out how much extra room they had, and we'd go rent a congregation. And we'd show up and, you know, make the place happen.
Yeah.
And we would bring kids from our schools, neighbors, and they'd get saved.
Yeah.
It was a great time. So, Bri, how long are you here for?
I'm here till Monday evening.
So Sunday you'll come to church? Lolita asked.
I'll be in church with my beautiful wife, and I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of my family that's here.
So that's a good way for me to invite people to come and visit Denver Bible Church, because you also get to meet my brother Brian and his wife Annette. So that'll be a lot of fun. And
straight from Jersey.
Brian, that's right. And let me tell the audience now, I got to do a commercial.
Good.
Our February telethon every year, our goal of $10,000, we're up to 77%. And the last donation, it just came in over the internet, $150 from Austria.
Wow.
Austria. Not far from Torino, where the Olympics are.
Wow.
And so we've got – how many states now are represented, states giving to Bobineer Live? I'm gonna read them, and you count them. So we could
– okay.
Alaska, Alabama, Arizona, California, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Louisiana, Minnesota, Missouri, Montana, New Jersey, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, and Virginia.
That's 62 states.
62? What do you mean, Brian?
That was 14.
Oh, 14.
14. That's not bad.
No, we're really doing something here. And so, and by the way, we have a product called the Bible Divorce and Remarriage. It's people tell, even this past month, even though we made this a few years ago, this video, DVD, VHS, people tell us it's the best thing they've ever seen on what does the Bible teach about divorce and remarriage. Mm. So anybody who calls in, of course, you could buy that from us anytime. But if you call in and you donate to our telethon, $100 or more, just ask for the Bible Divorce and Remarriage video for free, and we'll throw that in as a gift. And so we've got – we only have 23% of the way to go, and the telethon is over February 28th, so 4 days from now.
So what I'd like to say for the next 24 hours is anybody who wants to double their donation, I will match it for the next 24 hours. So please –
what, Bri?
Please, if you've been considering it, now's the time to do it because your $100 donation becomes $200.
Wait a minute. What? Explain it. I'm slow.
Well, I think the audience heard.
I went to public school. You're saying why? If somebody calls in,
I'll double the donation. So whatever they
somebody
whatever
calls
they,
in and say they want to donate,
and I'll match it with a matching hundred.
You're Bri. You right. I can't let you do that. You're my brother.
Well, I'm happy to do it. Annette told me to do it anyhow, so I have to do it. Annette, she's my wife.
What if she's in the studio audience? What if they give less than 100? Is that doesn't count?
We'll match it.
So if 25 or 100?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Maybe if they give 50 and I give 50, you can give them the $100.
Video.
Video.
All right, Bri.
All right.
That's my brother. I had no idea you'd be here during the telethon, but I'm thrilled you're here, Bri. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We're out of time. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, simply the best Christian school I've ever seen. Check them out. Maranatha and Denver Bible Church. We meet there, so come on out Sunday.